Hey, welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek. And I don't know about you, but I've been loving this series that's entitled Higher, as we've been looking at what Isaiah wrote, that God's ways are higher, his thoughts are higher, and yet he wants to give them to us. And today what we're going to dig into is who is our enemy, and how do we have a higher view of who our enemy is, and then when we recognize that we have enemies in our life, people that are against us, people that we feel like we're against, how do we have a higher way of interacting with them? That's what I want to dig in today. So grab your Bible, grab your notes. Let's dig in.
You deserve the glory.
Our prayer for you this morning, over today specifically, we felt like the Lord was saying that he wanted us to see him rightly. I just feel like this morning, this time of singing together has been an invitation to see him rightly. And so Lord, we as a community, we say we're hungry to know you. We're hungry to see you rightly. And we know as we see you, as we behold you, we're transformed from glory to glory. And so this morning, Lord, as we gather together, as we sing, as we pray, as we open up the scriptures that you've offered to us, Lord, we just say we yield to you because you're worthy. We want to know your thoughts. We want to know your ways. And because you're so holy and worthy and generous, we say yes. I'm just reminded of the scripture that says that the love of the Father is poured into our hearts by the Spirit. For us to be able to open up the scripture and to receive from God, we must first know that he loves us. So can we just take a moment? Can we just thank the Lord that he loved us first? Just all over the room, you just tell the Lord, thank you for loving me on my best day and my worst day. Lord, thank you for loving us first, for showing us what love looks like. And we thank you today. We sit in the truth that you are for us and not against us. Maybe you just need to be reminded of that today. God is for you, not against you. Lord, we celebrate you. We celebrate you. And we thank you for your presence that's here, not just far off, but here with us. We honor you today in this house, and we pray that you would lead us into truth that sets us free. For the glory of Jesus, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and find a seat. If you have your Bible, why don't you go ahead and join me? I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 out the gate here, and then in just a little bit later, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 6, so you can go ahead and get a head start if you'd like. Man, welcome. I know we have some guests here. Man, my name is Derek. It is an honor to be with you today. Honored that you joined us today. Our prayer is really simple. Consistently, what we pray over our house, our church, our community is that we would be able to express the love of God to those that join us. And secondly, that we would recognize his presence. And that's our chief goal. We don't gather around a pastor, a podium, a stage, a church, a building, a vision. We gather around the presence of God. Can we all just say amen to that? That's what the people of God have always been marked by, not a building, a fancy marketing plan, but the presence of God has differentiated the people of God for a long time. So that's what we're endeavoring to do and be. We've been in a series that's entitled Higher, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. We've been looking at this phrase that Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 55 that said that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. And we've been talking about how that's not a God holding back. It's actually an invitation. God saying, come to me, so that you can know my thoughts and you can know my ways. And so we've been leaning into that for the last few weeks. Last week, Kate, I thought, man, did such an amazing job of unpacking what it looks like to live in a way where we call people higher. And how that can be challenging sometimes, but that's the way that Jesus modeled, that we are always calling truth out, we're calling true identity, we're calling people higher. And so if you missed last week, I would encourage you to check out the podcast. Listen to some of the truth that she brought. I thought was so good. And today I want to talk about something, though, that I think all of us can relate to. Here's the question. How many of you have ever had somebody offend you? Can we get an amen in the house? Yes. How many of you ever had somebody call you a name? Yeah, oh man, y'all are interactive today. I like this. You're raising your hands in church. You're like, woo, yeah, getting crazy. How many of you have ever had somebody intentionally hurt your feelings? Anybody else besides me? Okay, how many of you have ever, now you may not raise your hand on this because you're trying to be all cool in church, but how many of you have ever hated somebody in your heart? Wow, I'm super proud of you. Yeah, yeah. So one of the common denominators with all humanity, all of us, at one point or another, we have experienced what it's like to have an enemy. And so today, what I want to do as we open up the scriptures is I want us to say, man, God, what is your perspective of our enemy? And not only, God, what is your perspective? Here's what I love about our church. We're hungry. We don't know, want to know just, God, what do you say about this? But we want to say, God, what are your ways? How can we actually live into the truth that you're given us, all right? And so I'm gonna ground us in the scriptures throughout the time. We're gonna be in Ephesians chapter 6 first and really framing up something I think is really misunderstood about enemies. So this is Paul. He's writing to a church, the church of Ephesus, in this letter, and he's got to the very end of his letter, chapter 6 here, the very end. He's given some practical things, and here's what he says to this church. He says, finally, this is the end. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Whose might are we strong in? Ours? No, no, no. Whose is it? His might. I love that. Good reminder for us. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We've talked about this a few weeks ago, the schemes. Actively trying to undermine who God called you to be and what he's called you to do. That's what Satan is doing. He says, verse 12, listen, he says, so stand against the devil and his schemes. This is why, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Oh, wow, light bulb moment. You and I, we don't battle, we don't argue, we aren't against, our enemy is not flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And so this passage really, I think, gives us a picture of what the whole scripture teaches us. It's that our true enemy is not another human being. Can we just come to grips with that? You and I, our enemy is not a human being. Here's a revelation. Your enemy does not look like you. Your enemy is not human. What is our enemy? Our enemy is the one who desires to see humans fail. And we gotta get this, like the whole Bible is teaching us, listen, you have one enemy and it's not a person that votes different than you. It's not a person that does this. You knew I had to sneak it in there somewhere, right? Like it's not somebody who has a different religion than you. It's not someone who thinks differently about a social issue. He says, newsflash, your enemy is not a human being. Your enemy is much different than you. Your enemy is the one who's called Satan. It's not a person, it's not a group of people, it's not a country, it's not a nation. It is the one who's behind all of this stuff. So you see what we see here. He says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but he says, this is what it is. Our true enemy works through unseen rulers and authorities, cosmic powers and spiritual forces to carry out his plan or his scheme. See, what's so deceptive about Satan, he loves when we as a culture think about Satan as, you know, wearing a red leotard suit with a pitchfork, horns, a long tail. That's the enemy. No, 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 no. He's like, good job. Keep on going. Keep on. Yeah, let that game play out. Let's see how it goes. No, we've got to wake up. Like the enemy is not like that. He says the enemy is at work behind the scenes. He's actively moving and working through all types of channels and works and ways. And so what I want you to see here is that our enemy is behind, listen to this, the scene of every ideology, every philosophy, every policy, and every system that seeks to separate humanity from one another and from the truth. Not a little man with a pitchfork. But the enemy is the one who's behind. Listen to this again. every ideology, every philosophy, I would say even every theology, every policy, every system that seeks to separate humanity from one another and humanity from the one who is truth. This is yours, this is my true enemy. What I know about this enemy is that he operates pretty stealthily. Like he's very, very specific in how he operates. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. I think the church in America, we could grapple with this truth. Like we don't wanna be naive. We don't wanna just go through the motions. He says, be sober-minded, be aware, be watchful. Your adversary, the word Satan, actually his name means adversary, the one who opposes. That's his name, what it means. It says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to, what? Devour. Every time I read this verse, I'm reminded about a time where, 10 or 15 years ago, maybe more than that, where I was in Africa. And one of the guys that we were there ministering with, he has an orphanage there, and he knew somebody who could take us out into the Maasai Mara, into kind of the brushland. And so they took us out one day in this little van, had this pop-up ceiling so we could stand up. And so we're being all cool, like living the best life, and it's awesome. And they drive up and we're at this tree and there's this big leopard up in the tree and it's got a carcass of an animal. And so we're like, wow, this is amazing, wow. And then all of a sudden, the CB radio starts going crazy in Swahili. We had no idea what was going on, but something was going on. We get this crazy, and so the guy hits it in reverse, goes down. And so we're like, oh wow, this is cool. Like we don't understand what's going on, but it's pretty neat. We're going faster now. And all of a sudden though, we're flying by like animals that I've never seen in my life. And I'm like, hey, can we like slow down? Like why are we going so fast? But obviously he's on a mission, and so we go over this hill, we go down this hill, and he literally like slides in. Oh, it was so cool. It was like I was living a movie for a moment. But he like literally slides in, like e-brake slides in, and right there was a stream of water, a pretty good sized stream of water, and there was a water buffalo that was cornered in the stream with a pride of female lions. Leave it up to the females to get all the work done. Come on, ladies, say amen, right? So they got this thing cornered, and we're like the second car to get there. So we're like me to like Meshach. We're about this far away from it. Insane. Like National Geographic got nothing on this, right? And so we stay there for I think about an hour or so, and literally watch this pack of female or pride of female lions devour their prey. But here's what I realized when I read this verse, that our enemy is like a roaring lion, that lions don't attack the whole pack, do they? Like those wild buffalo, those water buffalo that were, like there were hundreds of them. Like I couldn't even count them all, tons of them. They didn't attack the whole, what do? They picked off one and got it separate from the whole herd. And then guess what happened? They were able to take advantage of it. And that's exactly what your enemy is trying to do to you. Get you separate. Separate from what? Separate from community, super practical way. To get you to feel like you're the only one that has a problem. You're the only one that has struggles. You're the only one. Nobody else in the world has that struggle. Yes, we do. We all do. We're called human beings. That's one of his lies though. And the second thing that he tries to separate us from is what? The truth. Separate us from the truth. And Jesus is onto this, and he makes it so clear about this enemy that we have, that it's not flesh and blood, but it's the one who's behind the scenes working, who's like a roaring lion. His primary strategy is to divide and conquer. And this is what Jesus says about this one. He's speaking to some leaders. He says, you are of your father, the devil. How would you like Jesus to say that to you? That's like a little wow, okay? He says, your will is to do your father's desires. Listen to what he says about him. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is John 8. Jesus is speaking about the enemy that we have. And we know The primary role that Satan takes, his strategy is divide and conquer, and he does that through accusation and deception. He's a liar. And he wants you and I to believe the lie, to believe what is false, and in doing so, we don't live into who God's called us to be. And so we should ask then, well, what do we do? Well, here's what I found out about Satan as I read the scriptures, as I look at Jesus, is that truth is Satan's kryptonite. Like, what is the one thing that will cause the enemy of your soul to buckle, to not be able to move in your life? What is the one thing? And that is truth, because it says here that he cannot stand in the truth. And that's why I love what Jesus said. He says, abide in my word and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? If you abide in my word, you will know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What did Jesus do when Satan came at him? After his baptism, like we celebrated in the first service, we had a beautiful baptism first service. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. He was then led into the wilderness, and what happened? Satan comes to him and tempts him. And what did Jesus respond every time? What? It is what? Written. What was Jesus doing? He was anchoring himself in truth. And what we need to see today is that our strongest weapon against the schemes of your enemy, the schemes of Satan, is truth. It's why we love the scriptures. It's why we as a people, we want to understand the scriptures. We want to read the scriptures, not to check off a list and kind of get the naughty and good list. Like, we're not into that. Like, we want to actually feast on this so that when things come our way, we know what truth is, right? And so we're a people that love the scripture, but we're also a people, and you know this if you've been here very long, we want to be a people that are aware that God still speaks. It always aligns with the scripture 100%, but we want to be a people that are aware in a moment, God, what do you think about this? Man, I'm really angry at this person. What perspective should I have in this situation? God, I really want to send this email and I got it written out and I'm ready to hit send, but God, what do you think about this email? And so we want to be a people where we engage in the scriptures, but we also are in a relationship with God where we're saying, God, what are your thoughts? What are your ways? What perspective do you want me to have in this situation right now? Because we know that our primary weapon, the only weapon we need against Satan, is truth. And that's why I love Ephesians 6 goes on, we're gonna look at it, but the first piece of armor is the belt of truth. Because you can't even move on to the rest of the armor unless you have truth. And so I love that it's the first thing you put on, it's the belt of truth. We've gotta be a people that are in the truth. And so let me reiterate again, we don't battle against flesh and blood, right? And so here's the question, though, that we should ask. What about the people that are against me, or what about the people that are against God? Aren't they my enemy? Like, Derek, like, you don't even know what this person did to me, or what they did to my family, or, man, how about this group of people? Like, they hate God. Aren't they our enemy? And I would point you back to the first Ephesians chapter 6. He says, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but the enemy is behind the scenes. And here's the thing, though. He does work with people, knowingly and unknowingly. And so I'm not naive enough to think that, honestly, in this room, we would think that we don't have enemies, or at the very least, that we don't have people that would actually say they're our enemies. That's true, right? So the question is, what do we do with that? What do we do with our enemies, the people in our lives? And thankfully, Jesus really gives us real clear instruction. And honestly, it's not the most fun instructions, but it's the path of life. This is the way of Jesus. So Luke 6, if you wanna flip over there. Jesus is gonna give us some really, really clear instructions on how do we engage with people that are perceived enemies, or people that would make themselves our enemies or God's enemies. And I'm so grateful these are words in red. These aren't Derek's words, right? These are words in red. That means Jesus' words. This is what he said about our enemies. Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies. Can we just rewind, Jesus? Can you like wipe that out. He says, I say to you who hear, that's a good point. Not all of us will hear this today, but he said, those that hear, love your enemies. Dang. Do good to those who hate you.
What?
Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And for one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, and do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those that do good to you, what benefit is that? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But look at verse 35. He says, but love your enemies, do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Whoever's following Jesus is a crutch. I mean, I don't think they ever read this passage. This is a high one. Now, I do want to make one clear. Anytime I read this, especially in a setting this big, I want to make sure I make this clear. This does not pertain to people that are in abusive relationships. Okay? So you hear this, turn the other cheek. You know, so there is wisdom when you are being abused to separate, to even look at what is a path forward. So can we all agree to that? So this is not a, and I know this has been weaponized, this passage for many years and from pulpits, and I hate that and I apologize. That does not pertain to somebody who is physically hurting or harming you or even anyway abusing you. Like, if that's you, man, step away, get some help, reach out to the church. We would love to walk you through that. That's not what we're talking about here. So take that off the table, and let's talk about now. Now, anytime you have an enemy, this is what Jesus is saying. He's given us clear instruction. Anytime we have somebody who's against us, opposes us, and this is what he says, love your enemies, pray for them, and bless them. Simple, super challenging. Love your enemies, pray for them, and bless them, even with through gritted teeth sometime, right? This is the way of Jesus. It's not the way of the world. Can we all agree to that? Not the way of the world. But this is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's given us a commandment. He's given us a teaching here that will actually lead us to life. And thankfully, he doesn't just tell us to do this. He actually models this for us. Jesus gives us such a picture of what it looks like to love our enemies. This is from Romans 5, verse 7. It says, for one scarcely will die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still, what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, there's the word, for while you and I were enemies, when you and I were opposed to God and God's ways, when you and I were doing that, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son. How many of you at one point were opposed to God and received the love of God through Christ? Anybody else in this house say amen to that, right? So Jesus doesn't just give us a teaching and say, good luck with it. No, he says, I'm gonna teach you something, but then I'm actually gonna model the way, and I'm gonna do this to my enemies. I'm gonna do this to you. I'm gonna lay down my life so that you can actually find life and that we can actually change this whole thing. This is what Jesus models for us. Now, we could speak a long time about what it looks like to love our enemies, but I wanna make it really clear here. This is what loving our enemies does not look like. I thought I'd do this a little, mix it up a little bit. This is a list of what it looks like to not love your enemies. Number one, okay? If you have an enemy, number one thing that is not God's way, call them a name. So normal, like in our world right now, to call names, to try to humiliate, this is like normal. And so I just need you to hear it. Like calling somebody a name is not loving them. In the famous words of prime time, Deion Sanders, God's not gonna bless me putting another man down like that. That's deep, isn't it? For Deion, that's really awesome, right? You can't expect the blessings of God to flow in your life when you are mocking and making fun and calling somebody else names. You just can't do it. And so love is not calling names. The second thing love is not slandering and gossiping the person that's your enemy. It feels good in the moment, doesn't it? Like it feels so good to tell somebody about somebody who's not in the room. Doesn't it feel so good sometimes? Like it's like, oh, but you know what it does? It leads to death. You know what slander and gossip are? It's the language of hell. And I'm telling you, we so easily get into it. And sometimes we put words on it like, hey, did you hear this person's going through a problem? Let's pray for them. Yeah, right. You know what you're doing. And so we've got to be a people that recognize, man, slander and gossip are not from the throne of heaven, it's from the pit of hell. James says that we bless the Lord one moment, and then with the very next moment, we curse the person made in his likeness. And he says, stop it. Don't do that. It's not right. And so loving your enemy is not slandering and gossip. And then the third thing, it's not posting hate-filled rhetoric online or in public. That's like super obvious, but I feel like I've got to say that once in a while, because when I do jump online once in a while and I read, like I often, like I feel the Father's heart breaking, and it's so easy to get behind a keyboard and just, oh my goodness, this person hurt me. This person votes different than me. Boom. And it's like, wow, does that ever lead to life? I mean, you've heard it said, but has an argument ever swayed somebody to change their mind on social media? I don't think so. It just adds more fuel to the fire, right? The fourth thing is that love is not canceling somebody because they disagree with you. It's all the rage. Our culture is the cancel. I heard somebody say the only thing Jesus cancels is our sin. Somebody say amen to that, right? And it's so easy to just buy into that notion. Okay, they disagree with me on that point. I'm just gonna cancel them. Or they think differently about whatever, spiritual gifts, or they think differently about politics, they think whatever. And so I'm just gonna cancel them. No, 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 that's not how Jesus operates. That's not how you love your enemies. And this last one on this list of love is not, it's hating the whole person because you disagree or you hate one political, religious, or social position they have. And this is the one that drives me crazy when I look at our nation right now. And unfortunately, when I see the state of the church in the West, I feel like we're buying into this. It's just to be clear right now, like the political system in our country is more polarized, I feel like, than it has been in the past. And what's the goal right now of each party? So I'm not saying one or the other. I'm just saying for each party, what is their goal? To get you further and further from the middle. It's to try to play to their base people. And what's happened, that base is getting more extreme every day, further and further out here. And what are they doing? They want you to love them so much, but how do they want you to love them? By hating the other person. It's all over. I mean, just literally, just go from one news channel to another news channel. You know which two I'm talking about, and literally watch how they're talking about one another. And we'll listen for hours on end. And what happens is we begin to hate the people we don't even know. We begin to buy to that they're the problem and they're the only problem, and then I gotta hate them and there's no way. And I say this often, and I just feel like a broken record sometimes. Remember, we are the United States of America, not the divided states of America. We are a people that are called together. And I'm telling you right now, the enemy is having a field day in our country in politics. Can we just all say yes? Like it's not flesh and blood. There are things that are happening, systems, policies, all the things behind the scenes. And I'm not even saying their enemy is politicians. I'm not saying that. That's a completely out of context. What I'm saying is the enemy is behind everything that separates. And right now, politics is separating more than it is bringing together. And so how do we as a people that are called to be different, how do we navigate that? That's the question. You know how we do it? We love our enemies. Martin Luther King Jr. said it really clearly. He says, man, hatred does not drive out hate. Only what? Only love can do that. Listen, more and more hatred does not make anything better. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. No, 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 that's not what Jesus said. He actually died for his enemies. And I love what Dallas Willard said, this question. This is the question that I think about often. He said this. He says, the main test of our Christ-like character is whether one spontaneously responds to one's enemy with love. I'm gonna say that one more time because I could easily miss that. Dallas Willard, a beautiful soul, died a little while ago, theologian, professor. He said the true test of our maturity, our Christ-like nature in our life, is how we immediately respond to our enemy with love or not. See, like any good coach, a good coach wants a challenging team to play against, right? Because when you play a challenging team, you learn a lot about your team. You learn what you're good at. You learn what you need to work on. You know, you learn a lot of things about that. And so their enemy is really the same way. When we have an enemy, I want to challenge you to, what if we thought about our enemy as a growth opportunity? You're like, blah, 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 I don't want to do that. No, seriously. Like, what about the people in your life that you feel are opposing you, that are kind of a frustration for you? What if you saw them as a growth opportunity? What if these people in your life were an opportunity for you to actually extend love like Jesus did? To extend mercy like Jesus did? To give grace like Jesus did? I think we reframe how we see our enemy, it would reframe how we interact with our enemies. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we love them? Here, I'm going to end with this passage. This is a passage that's read oftentimes at funerals or at weddings and different events. This is, y'all are funny. Y'all are real funny. Weddings are not funerals, just to be clear. Y'all are good. First Corinthians 13. This is the litmus test for how we interact with our friends, how we interact with our families, our spouse, our kids, and even our enemies. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and I offer up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Wow. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So here's my invitation and challenge for you this week. It's allow love, this love that we see in 1 Corinthians 13, allow that to be your filter on how you're interacting with people in your life, especially those that you perceive as your enemy. And I'm telling you, it's not natural. Jesus is not saying, hey, if you want to try this on your own, go for it. No, he's saying, listen, the only way you're going to do this, the only way you're going to follow my way is if you have the Spirit of God empowering you to do it. And so I want to pray just a blessing over you today as we think about this new higher way, higher thoughts of our enemies. And so, Lord, I thank you that your scripture speaks to real things we all navigate. Or we just acknowledge that, man, we so often see people and groups of people and individuals as our enemies. We just confess that to you. And we say today, we want to see them as you see them. We want to have your perspective. And we want to walk the way of Jesus when it comes to our enemies. And so I'm asking, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would remind us of this mind of Christ that we have, that we would yield more and more to the leadership of your Spirit so that we could walk the way of Jesus, not the way of the world, not the way of our flesh, but the way of Jesus that does lead to life, that is the way that leads to life. So I just want to give you a moment. Why don't you just pray a prayer? Maybe you have an enemy, somebody that's come to mind or a group of people, and you just want to take a moment to just say, Lord, help me to see them as you see them. Lord, this week, help me to speak as you would speak. Maybe this week the first step is you're not going to go talk to them, but what if you just prayed a blessing over them? And never underestimate coming into agreement with God, just a small little thing, what kind of ripple effect that can have in your life. So Lord, we're hungry not just to know about you, but to walk your ways. And we want to be a people that offer something different to the world. We don't want to just be a people that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We want to be a community that does what you did, which loves even our enemies, blesses, prays for. People that believe that you actually can change things and that we can with you. We honor you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We thank you for today. Amen. We're gonna have our ministry team close up the day with us this morning. Man, I know anytime we're talking about enemies, there can be a lot of things stirred up in us. And so today, if you're like, man, I really would like somebody to pray over the situation that I have, this relationship that I have, we would love to partner our faith with your faith. So man, come on down. These guys are amazing men and women who love the Lord and love this community. If you need help in any other way, if you're like, man, I got some health things coming up, we would love to pray a blessing over you as well. Relationship things going on, we would love to pray for you. If that's not you guys, we love you. Man, we are excited to see and hear what God does this week in your lives. But let's love not only our neighbors, but our enemies this week. It's the way of Jesus. God bless you guys.